The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We're back, the second half of the show here on this MLK Day. We've already spoken to Sylvester Croom. Really excited to talk to Matt Hayes, one of the great sports writers and talk show hosts out there today. His latest in Saturday down south, first and 10. Be careful, ACC. Greg Sankey will get an expanded playoff with or without you. Quotes a lot of people in this piece describing what is going on and where it all could be going. Matt, wonderful to have you back on the program, and hope all is well. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. My pleasure. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Let's get right to it, because we all think we know what's going on in college athletics with this playoff, but you dug pretty deep. What did you learn, and where are we going?
Well, I can't tell you how many people, how many, you know, ADs, administrators, industry people reached out to me after what happened Monday with the entire playoff fiasco, however you want to look at it. I think a lot of them are just perplexed really right now. It's just everybody sees where college athletics is headed. Everybody knows you need a new revenue stream. And the only revenue stream that's out there is the playoff. And for some reason, there's one group, one conference that doesn't get it or refuses to get it for a specific reason. And they're not holding it up. And potentially, unless something crazy happens over the next few weeks, you know, we're going to wait 4 years before an expanded playoff. And there's a lot of upset people and a lot of ideas that are floating around right now.
And Matt, I understand hurt feelings after the Oklahoma-Texas deal, but get over it after a couple of days and move on. But it doesn't seem like people have, and I'm curious why you think that is.
You know, I don't know, Paul. The whole since that happened, it's just bizarre how the idea is. Look, you and I, we watch this from afar, and we usually just basically use common sense with this stuff. But like the idea of the ACC using this power play to try and get Notre Dame to join the ACC. If, and this is a gigantic if, Notre Dame is joining any conference, are they going to join a conference with one of the worst television deals of anyone? It doesn't even make sense. That's why I think when you look back at stuff like this and you start to look into it, you say, wait, none of this makes sense. It's sort of like leaving $600 million a year on the table. Why would you do that? It doesn't make sense. So it's a little strange, and I talked to three different people told me this, that, you know, the idea is that the ACC is trying to slow down, you know, the SEC's growth or the SEC's domination of college football. At the end of the day, that's only going to hurt the ACC, because if pieces start moving, Paul, the weakest conference is going to be the one affected by it most, and the weakest conference right now is either the Big 12 or the ACC, and one of those two is either going to have to gobble up the other. I mean, who knows what's going to happen at this point? Everything is on the table right now. I can tell you this, there's a lot of upset people right now in college athletics, a lot, because, Paul, that's their only revenue stream right now.
Matt, I was reading the story earlier today, and there was one line in here, a lot of really amazing lines, a lot of great people quoted, but that I literally dropped my bowl of Cheerios on, and it's this one, talking about expansion. And you mentioned that one industry source told you that nobody really expected prior, if you had told them OU and Texas would be coming to the ACC. But you opened the door, and I want you to explain what you understand and what you've learned, that may not be it, that the SEC, because of all the things you've already laid out, could be a welcome home for other major schools. Explain.
It's not even really just the ACC, the SEC either, Paul. I mean, the reality is this, and they all see this. Well, apparently everybody but the ACC. The train coming down the tracks is pay for play. That's the train. And they all know they can't stop it. After what happened with the Supreme Court last summer, they all know they can't stop it. So they've got to find a way to deal with it. You've got to find a way to work the problem. And that's, I go back all the way to the COVID season. Everybody else is running around panicking, talking about playing in the spring. And there's Greg Sankey in the corner just working the problem. So you got to work the problem. And none of these, and it looks like anyway, that the SEC doesn't care about working the problem. You've got to find revenue. I keep going over this over and over, but you've got to find revenue. And the only revenue is that playoff. You know, and if you've got to be a strong conference to withstand the idea of pay for play. If they're going to have to pay these players. So then how do you become a strong conference? You get the most members you possibly can and move forward and get great television deals and have great matchups. That's the key to everything, Paul. The future of the sport is going to rely on great matchups, great games. That's what TV is going to want to pay for. That's what Hulu will pay for. That's what Amazon will pay for. That's the future right now.
So in terms of the movable parts, you mentioned the two weakest links, and you're right. The ACC got into a deal that nobody thinks is successful. And for the record, it's with ESPN, with the advent of the ACC network and everything else that they have going there. So what could be in play based on your contacts?
At this point, one person I spoke to, Paul, and by the way, that whole ACC deal, they were so desperate to get a quote-unquote network like the Big Ten, like the SEC, they took a bad deal. One person looked at me and said, are you watching? Or told me, he said, are you watching right now what's going on TV, the NFL? I said, yeah. He said, don't kid yourself. That could easily be the college football in 5-10 years. Meaning you could have 2-3 major conferences, and they play out in playoffs, and then they play in the championship game. It doesn't have to be this situation where you're talking about 5 power conferences or group of 5 conferences, because the NCAA restructuring is going to change everything. You literally could have a situation where you have like this super Division I, where you've got, I don't know, 70, 75 teams, and everybody else is down in the other division. And those 70, 75 teams will play for the playoffs.
And Matt, that to me is the frustrating part. I know you feel similarly. I mean, you live in an NFL town. Well, arguably, but you do. And
it's true, man. I don't know what to tell you.
True.
I agree with you.
But I mean, just watching this weekend. I mean, the two games Saturday, the three yesterday, the one tonight. It gets even more interesting next weekend. And college football has that white elephant known as the semifinals on New Year's Eve. And we're not even talking, I haven't, you know, the numbers aren't out yet for the weekend, but you and I both know that Cowboys game last night is going to be astronomical. And yeah. I'm not saying college football can match that, but they can at least be competitive. Right now they're not.
You know, it's interesting, Paul, for so long, you know, when you and I were growing up in this business, for so long college football, all they wanted to do was not be the NFL. They just didn't want anything to do with the NFL. And now they need to start moving toward that model. And ironically, was, you know, the ACC's other excuse for not going on with the playoff was the health and welfare of the players.
Yeah,
and I completely agree with that. But Greg Sankey's guy was saying, okay, well, let's deal with that. But not only let's deal with it, but let's deal with it throughout the entire calendar year, not just during the season. Limit hitting. The NFL, they don't even hit during the season anymore, Paul. You're not allowed to. But you got to start doing things like that. And there are people who are all for that. They were already working that problem. Again, I go back to working the problem. But it just seems like these guys aren't willing to work the problem.
Matt, if I could just get you to be speculative for a moment. Let's get beyond this. We're obviously stuck in the sand for a couple of years. But you mentioned looking like the NFL. I mean, 5 to 10 years from now, what do you think this is going to look like?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard. I mean, I don't like hypotheticals, number one, but number two, it's very hard. My guess would be you're going to see a contraction of sorts with the number of FBS teams. They'll call it a different name, be it Super Division I or whatever they call it. You'll see a contraction of sorts, and they'll figure out a playoff at some point. And then 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road, after all the lawsuits are done, they're going to pay players. I don't know how much. I don't know how they'll do it, but they'll do it. And then it'll look more and more like the NFL model.
Well, you're right. It's everything that we.
I mean,
heard.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, Paul. To be honest, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I just think there's got to be more people in college athletics that actually see the train coming down the track and realize it's time to start working this problem because it's not going away.
But Matt, when you consider what is happening today, and we talked to David Ubbin about this earlier, where the portal is chaotic, but what's even more chaotic, he told us, is you got players going to their coaches saying, listen, I'm leaving unless I get this. I mean, it's rampant as we speak. Forget down the road.
No, I mean, it is, but that stuff is superfluous when you start talking about the reality of, okay, the idea of the NIL is to even the board as much as possible, and it will. It will. Over the next 2, 3, 4 years, it will. You will see. I mean, look at Paul. Indiana had the 17th ranked recruiting class this year. Indiana. Missouri had the number 11 ranked recruiting class. That doesn't happen without NIL. It just doesn't. So I think eventually you'll start to see that even out a little bit. The thing they have to figure out is how they're going to pay these guys. That's the thing they're going to have to figure out. And once they do, that other stuff will work itself out.
Final question on that. Is there a best case scenario model out there to pay them without violating all their sacrosanct principles?
No, there's not, Paul. I mean, that's kind of where I more and more they're all starting to understand that. They can't. The idea of the amateur model is just not even close to what it used to be. And I know there's a lot of people, a lot of good people too, Paul, that believe in that model and think it's the right thing. And part of it sometimes is the right thing, but they also know they've got to change. I don't know if there's a right model or a correct model, but they're going to have to find something, I'll tell you that. They can't be like the ACC and just stick their head in the sand.
Well said. Always great to have you on, Matt. You be well.
Thanks, Paul.
Wow. I mean, Matt Hayes really dropped some truth there. Let's take a break, react to that. More from you at 855-242-7285. Sylvester Kroom earlier, Matt here. We have Bruce Pearl. Final hour. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back, and glad to have you with us. And TW is up next in Georgia. Hello, TW.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Well, thank you.
It's good to talk with you. You and I spoke about 10 days ago about Big Dog Mike Woods, the number one fan in the USA.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And we were not time, and you asked me to call you back.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Well, thank you. Do we need to go back to the beginning or just start up?
Yeah, why don't you briefly tell us who he was for those who missed the call?
Big Dog Mike Woods was the number one, voted number one fan in America by several categories. ESPN did several episodes with him. They would come to his house and film him to find out how he got started, and how he got started was this way. His father, Lonnie Sr., was a World War II veteran. He drove the UGA football team bus to practice from the Coliseum. And at that time, they had practice at what is now the intramural fields. So Mr. Woods was a classy guy. He would have his red sports coat, black pants, white shirt, black tie, and then he just started painting his head. So when Mr. Lonnie passed, Mike took it up and started doing it, and his wife, Diane, would paint his head, and Mike would wear coveralls with UGA logos and T-shirts. And the thing with Mike, when he would go to a ball game, children loved to have their pictures taken with Mike. And he was so kind, so obliging to help the children get pictures with them. And he never wanted anything in return other than to let everyone know that he loved Georgia and he was a big fan of Georgia. And every home football game, Mike would be down in the end zone, the east end zone, what we used to call the YMCA bleachers. And I would be down there with Mike, and people would come up, and he was would always say, hey, take a picture, put his head down, put that finger up, and say, go Dawgs, number one. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. And I've been, as many of his friends, to games with him. And it's just amazing how popular he was and how much love he had by the University of Georgia nation. Not only did he go to just the football games, he would be at Foley Field for the baseball games, basketball games, and gymnastics. When my daughter Stephanie got married, Mike said, hey, should I come dressed as Big Dog? I said, Big Dog, this is Stephanie's night. You come. But my gosh, when he got there, everybody just wanted to talk and have a picture with Mike. Wonderful guy. He was my brother, although from different. We live next to each other. We grew up together. He would call me. I would call him. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. And unfortunately, he passed away before the 2017 season. His wife, Diane, had gone to visit someone, and Mike was home in his recliner and had a heart attack at the young age of, I think, 62, 65 years old.
Oh, my.
Very, very, very much missed. Just a wonderful man. Enjoyed lots of memories with him. Lots of fun, lots of love. And his sidekick was called Little G. I remember one day Mike called me and said, I want you to meet me at Sanford Stadium at so-and-so. And he said, ESPN is going to be there and Diane is going to be doing my head. And Paul, when I got there, Mike said, I need for you to stand behind me to make sure that people don't interrupt Diane painting my head. I did not realize, but as we stood there, and I wasn't paying attention, someone, when Diane was painting, reached over and said, Big Dog, and put their hand right on top of his head.
Oh, my.
And just messed the whole thing up.
Well, T.W., and Diane, thanks for sharing. I've seen some pictures of that head, and it didn't look like it was easy to get that right. Well, I appreciate you honoring his memory, and it means a great deal. Thank you very much. John is up next. John, go right ahead.
Hey, great interview with Sylvester Crone. And to this end, that it's MLK Day, A great patriot died yesterday. I don't know if you read about it. Brigadier General Charles McGee, one of the first Tuskegee Airmen.
Right, absolutely.
Flew in three wars and over 400 missions, just a class all by himself. And on your first caller, you know, I had to recall on the waterfront. I don't know if you did, where he could have been a star, could have been a contender.
Instead, took the dive.
So could have had class. Could have been somebody.
Yeah, I was Jim in that movie? No, that was Brando. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, maybe he was the guy sitting next to him, Steiger. Who knows?
Right.
Here's my question. No, that was just you're going to get a lot of calls on, I'm sure. But here's my question. Nice interview with Matt Hayes, but just in real simple terms, Paul, could you tell me who's holding up the CFP? I mean, they have all these meetings. They do nothing. But what is the bottom line? Which conferences are holding it up? They want five games in one. They want six. What's the bottom line?
Well, I think the two main culprits are the ACC and the Big Ten. I blame the Pac-12, but I'm not sure the Pac-12 is as big a power player as the Big Ten. The Big Ten controls the Pac-12. You know that. But
right.
The ACC is the one that surprised me the most, and that's where Matt was aiming his targets, because the new commissioner of the ACC, Jim Phillips, came from Northwestern, and I've known him a while, and I've always thought him to be a reasonable guy, but I don't know what's happened to him. And I say happened to him. Sometimes the commissioner really all he is doing is representing the interests of his constituency, especially someone this young and new at the job.
But what is the item that he's saying holding it up? What is their stand?
I think they're embarrassed. John, think about this. You live up in Louisville, so a week ago and tonight, at the home of the Big Ten championship game, at the epicenter of the Big Ten, you had to watch. They all had to watch two SEC teams command the stage, and I think they're just being petty, and sometimes. You know, we're not talking about normal human beings here either. We're talking about college administrators. And they're not like the rest of us. They don't use the same common sense, because they're all so smart and they're all so smug and they're all so bureaucratic and they all know it all. We'll take a break. Back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome all of you back here and continue with more of your phone calls. Amanda is up next.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Amanda, we are doing well. Thank you.
Well, great. I just wanted to call. So I am from Kentucky, but huge, huge, huge Georgia fan. And I just had to call in about these Alabama and Florida fans. Now, at least Alabama fans have something to talk about. They were in the championship game. But Florida, I just don't get. So you started your downfall having a kid chuck a shoe, you know, down the field and just continue to plummet off the cliff. So why you're still, you know, yapping away, I don't know. And Bama, so we won. We were the better team. We took our beating. We lost the battle, won the war. And they, everywhere I turn, it's, well, get over it. Who cares? You did it. Get over it. Get over it. It's only been 7 days. We had to listen and suffer through 2nd and 26 forever. People are still talking about that. So I just kind of want to say to those people, like, chill. We're going to ride this as long as we want to. We waited long enough for it, and we were the better team. But, I just don't get it. I don't get how they, you know, expect us to just kind of turn it off. They're making fun of the championship parade and all this, that, and the other. Like, it's crazy to me.
Well, they're not – first of all, they're not used to this. So, and I think in some of their cases, they like legend. I mean, you heard what he said, so it's pretty self-explanatory.
Definitely. I would say that, yes, they're not used to it, and unfortunately – we are very used to it. Unfortunately, that's sort of the way it's gone for dogs. We've been so close so many times. But all the more reason, like, we're going to ride 33-8-18 as long as we possibly can. We had to put up with all that back to the Aaron Murray days and, you know, Fromm leading us almost there and then Tua, then Hurt, then Tua, then Hurt. Like, we've lived through that. We are going to enjoy this to the fullest, 100%.
Well, you should. You have earned it. Thank you very much. My man is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I love that Fred clip that you keep playing. You know, those Hurt, thousand-yard players out there. You got to love that. 1,000 yards. Sounds good when you say it, kind of with that affliction. But, you know, it seems to me when the College Football Playoff Committee came out there, when they first came up, they said, we will take injuries into an account. Isn't that what they said? I mean, when Clemson lost their quarterback that first part of the year, they gave them the nod. And so, but when you listen to Fred's account of it, now we knew Georgia was in the championship game. Maybe Alabama should have postponed it and stepped back and let LSU or Rutgers play or anybody play. Anybody in the country would have played Georgia that day. Had Alabama said, you know, we too beat up. We can't play. We can't play. They could have pulled Texas A&M and just played Texas A&M out there somewhere in the field. But, you know, I love that Fred call. I mean, yeah, that was excuseville at its finest. Now let's move over to page 54. You mind flipping that far back?
I had a feeling going to get a little bit deeper in the book.
You know, sometimes when I listen to Jim's calls, I see Forrest Gump in his little shorts and his braces. Now, his mom was throwing underhand to him because he said on this show, these are Jim's words, I'm not making anything up, nothing manufactured. His daddy didn't have nothing to do with it. He had a bad relationship with his family. So his mama must have had a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. And Jim's standing out there in his little britches, and he's got some kind of a stick like a baseball bat. And he might be having a batting average of, what, 12? And all of a sudden, he gets to Ted William Heights. He said he slam dunked on Joe Namath. Now, that had to be when Joe Namath was in Tuscaloosa. Would you go along with that?
Well, unless they played recently.
Recently.
Maybe while Joe was filming a commercial for Social Security.
But he said the way he told that story, he was in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, right.
And he also, as an elementary school kid, was going in all pool halls and winning cigarettes and beating grown men.
Right.
And can't you see that little boy in his little Forrest Gump shorts and his braces walking down the street smoking a cigarette? And then he walked down the fairway with Jack Nicklaus. Right. I mean, you know, Paul, you can go to the – you can get on your phone and Google documents that are all over the world that go back to the hieroglyphics, and there is not one – kid's picture drawn with Jim at the baseball, you know, at the play, playing football, soccer, golf, or anything. And I'm talking about in the history of mankind.
Let's cut to the chase here. What are you suggesting here that Jim is making this up out of whole cloth?
I'm suggesting if if he was all of that, somebody from Birmingham News, like where the city where you was working, yeah, would have went over there and found out this, Walt Disney would have made a movie. I think Jim's stretching it.
Well, unfortunately, then, I mean, I left the Birmingham News building before I became acquainted with Jim, so I never had the opportunity to go into what we used to call.
But you would have heard the stories from all the older guys.
But I, you know, listen, we'll have to leave it there. I mean, the thing about this show and my career is that we learn things new every day. So I'm not saying Jim is wrong about any of these things, Jim.
Well, here's what I call it about, Paul. You got this old fool, John, who's the most boring person. Everybody's talked about John from Louisville and how damn boring he is. He's a nobody. All he can do is, like that last fool you just had on, all he can do is trash me. You wrote about me pretty good in the book, and I'll damn sure tell you this. Everything I've told you about my career as an athlete is true and can be documented. I don't give a damn what these fools like John from Louisville and his screwed, I almost said a bad word, his screwy daughter, that's what everybody, you ought to hear what Jeff says about John from Louisville, the old dumbass. That's all he is. All he can do is trash people, Paul. I did what I did. Hey, I can talk about it. I'm not worried about it, Paul. I know what I am. I know what I can do, and I know what I did. I don't give a damn about these fools, but you ought to lot. I don't understand you letting these fools on every day, boring the hell out of people, like that Leanne lady a while ago. She bored everybody to death. Bored everybody to death, Paul. At least, as you said, I don't bore people. I'm compelling. I get to the point. I say it. I don't lie about people like I'm in and old John. I don't trash other people. You there?
I'm here.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. And that's a fact. And you can write that with Tommy Tuberville's signature on it, okay? Whatever you want to do, Paul. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, Paul. They all say this. Nobody has better chemistry with Feinbaum than you do, Jim, on air. And I love what Danny Sheridan told me privately about an hour ago, but I can't tell you because it's private.
How you doing? You had a double
key? Yes, ma'am. And I'm in the drive-thru, Paul, and they're getting the information pretty straight like I am.
Just out of curiosity, Jim, can you reveal where you are right now in terms of the
drive-thru? I'm at the Burger King on McFarland. On 15th, which is Paul Bryant Parkway, I guess.
What do you normally get at Burger King? I'm curious.
I don't normally do nothing. Paul, I don't do nothing normal. You know that.
Well,
but I just got a cheeseburger, a double cheeseburger.
Burger King.
Double cheeseburger. It's not Burger King. It's McDonald's. I was wrong. It's McDonald's. That's good advertising for McDonald's. Can
okay,
I get an image and likeness deal with them?
Just a correction. You're in line at McDonald's right now.
That's right. And I need an image and likeness from McDonald's. And I deserve at least a million.
I think the double cheeseburger is one of the best things McDonald's has ever produced.
And that's why I got it, Paul. I know good stuff. And you know good stuff, but you're letting crap come on your radio.
Okay.
You really are. You're letting boring-ass people like John from Louisville and his dumb-ass daughter try to dictate what your policy is, and they're the stupidest people you've ever had, and they're boring, Paul. You ought to hear what people say about them, but you don't see it. You just don't. I see it. I hear it. They write me. They tweet to me.
Okay, we'll continue this, Jim. Get back to the
And about one more thing about I-Man. Has he ever changed his calls? Yeah. Are you recording all these? Is that call today, the recorded call from 1912 that he first got on the show?
Oh, yeah.
They're all the same, Paul. Mine are not the same, are they?
You nailed it, Jim. Hey, thank you. You be careful there because at the McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm doing fine, Paul. Okay. How about you? Thank you.
I'm great. It's 4:43 right now in Tuscaloosa, and we will take a break. Kind of an early.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Afternoon and early evening it is. The hits keep coming. Legend is next.
What's going on, my friend? How you doing, Paul?
Legend, we are doing great.
Man, thanks for taking my call, man. I've really been enjoying the show today. Some great interviews, some great calls. Man, I've been enjoying it. I've been appreciating it. Paul, you know why Jim from Tuscaloosa is my friend?
Why is that?
Because he's not afraid to wear the black hat, Paul. Brent Musburger said one time, of all the people in the broadcast booth, he considered himself one person not afraid to wear the black hat. That's what I always loved about you, dude. You ain't afraid to tell the truth about Bear Bryant. People hated you, Paul, for that. But I said, that dude got balls. He's got balls, baby. Not afraid to wear the black hat, Paul. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, if I could speak about myself, I'd say you're probably right.
Yep, that's what I love about Danny Sheridan. That's what I love about Tim Brando. Man, and it's rare, Paul. You know why ESPN announcers don't get much respect? They company men. They suits, Paul. What made you friggin' Paul Feinbaum is you one of us, brother. You're not afraid to tell the truth, and that's what I like about Jim. And he just told the truth about Iron Man. The punk says the same thing over and over. If he didn't have Jim to talk about, he'd have nothing to talk about. Because he don't know football. He might could tell you the greatest hits of the Doobie Brothers.
The greatest
Smith,
hits of the
Paul.
Doobie Brothers will not take you very long.
No, it won't take you very long at all. Just like one of his phone calls. And I'm going to call out another one of your callers, Paul. Is it okay?
Sure.
Shannon. Shut the hell up. Red Dog's got a right to talk. He came on talking trash that Alabama was going to get drilled. Red Dog, your team had a great year. They're a great team. Congratulations, dude. But, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong. Did Shannon not come on this program last week and say these exact words? I'm an optimistic Bulldog fan, Paul. Did he or did he not say that exact thing?
He did. I can confirm that unequivocally.
You know what that is? That's a punk move, Paul. That's me covering my butt if I win. That's me covering my butt if I lose. That's a punk football move, Paul. I don't care if Alabama's lost 20 times in a row to Notre Dame. The legend would never come on this show and say, Paul, I'm an optimistic Alabama fan. I don't know if we're going to win or lose. That's a punk move, dude. Shut up. You got nothing to brag about. Red Dog, all the other Bulldog fans, you got something to say. That punk ain't got nothing to say, Paul, and that's the truth. Now about Danny Sheridan. Love to do, Paul. He's meant so much to me in my life. He's been a mentor. He's taught me so much. You and him, I ain't got nothing but love and respect for you, Brando, and Danny Sheridan, because as I've said, one thing you had to say about Jim and Legend, Paul, we're not your regular butt-kissing caller, are we?
No.
You don't know what I'm going to say when I come on. I might come on talking about bitch-slapping somebody. I might come on just, you know, like, oh Paul, I'm cool today. I mean, that's real friggin' radio. Not punks that are optimistic about their teams. Not callers calling in with the same boring friggin' call. But not afraid to put the black hat on. Like Sheridan, like Brando, like Jim, like Legend. Like friggin' Paul Feinbaum. The black hat crew, dude. Love you, Paul. Peace out.
Whoa. Man. I just want to let that marinate for a minute, don't you? Did he say, I still wear the black hat, or I used to wear the black hat? By the way, a couple of calls are, we got a call from Burger King, is that right? We want to correct, Jim's in the line at McDonald's. in Tuscaloosa, not Burger King. Okay, we have another hour to go. Let's reset the table here. I'll be wearing a black hat when we come back. We have talked to Sylvester Croom, David Ubben. I had a great conversation with Matt Hayes. We have one more to go. We will be joined by Bruce Pearl. It should be the number one team in the country, but some writer in Kansas City voted them ninth.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.